The construction outside is roaring. The shower is running, and it's time for another episode of High Floor with Ceiling. I don't know if we, like, when I listen back to our episodes, we always talk about, like, oh, and there's a big bang from the construction outside, but you can never really hear what we're talking about. So.
Well, it provides some special insight into
our lives,
the creative process, and our lives, I suppose.
What else do you want the people out there to know about your life, Chris?
Well, famously, you were complaining of a high-pitched whine earlier, Griffin.
That yeah, but then you stopped talking.
By, kind of a rude thing to say.
Yeah, I especially felt bad when, about it.
Especially when, as you believe, I'm already mad at you.
You seemed mad at me before we came on the air. That's all I'm saying. You were distant. You were cold.
You were trying to find my AO3 account.
I gave it everything I had.
And that's a preview for something later in the show. So get excited for that. And get excited for this. Wait, are we at the end of the cold open?
I think so. Time? Yeah, minute 12.
All right. Well, now's the show.
Noticing that you are wearing Toronto Raptors merch today.
Yeah.
You have never really struck me as a person to wear team merch. You're famously sort of a fan of the game more than a fan of any particular team, even though you lean Raptors, surely, but I'm sort of surprised that you're rocking the hoodie.
Yeah, I mean, I like this hoodie. It's comfy.
There you have
I like the Raptors. I do own, you know, I own merchandise. I own some jerseys. But that's a fair thing to say, Griffin. But what's even more fair to say is that NBA trade deadline season is upon us.
It's happening right now.
Yeah, I guess at the time that we're recording.
We might put this out while it's still happening.
Yeah, you're going to rush this out? Doesn't it? When's the deadline? Like 3 o'clock? Or has it already passed?
No, it can't be 1 o'clock.
You sure it's not 1 p.m.? Because, you know, they always trickle in after the fact.
That's true. Well, yeah, the trickle that you're referring to happened moments ago, Chris, when we saw that the Toronto Raptors made the most lateral move of all time, trading Dennis Schroeder and Thaddeus Young for...
And that was their second trade of the day, you should mention.
Yes, but this one is the lateral one. The other one was a straight upgrade, I think, in terms of roster quality.
Sure.
But they trade Thaddeus Young and Dennis Schroeder... to the Nets for Spencer Dinwiddie. I've seen some people saying that Dennis Smith Jr. is also coming to the Raptors.
I believe there was... I mean, this is a great time to talk about it because we don't know the exact details of the trade, but I believe there was a tweet that Dennis Smith Jr. was going to be included that was since deleted.
Mm.
So we're waiting for clarification on that, but the bones of the trade are Dennis Schroeder... and Thaddeus Young for Spencer Dinwiddie and something else, probably, right? So, yeah. You're saying this is strictly... You don't see the point in this trade.
I mean, I know that...
Which is not unreasonable.
Dinwiddie isn't expiring, and Schroeder is not. So they clear $13 million, but apparently they already had max cap space, so... Maybe Emmanuel quickly is going to demand a lot more than we thought. Who knows, but... listen, it's not a bad... I'm not against the trade. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, it's hard to really feel anything about it. People have positive things to say about Dennis Smith Jr., so if he was included in the deal, then I'd be a little more like, okay.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But I think in general, as you say, there's not much to really feel about it on either side. A more controversial trade, Griffin, happened earlier in the day, quite early in the day. One of the first trades to break, I believe.
Second of the day.
Was that the Utah Jazz were sending, and I want to get these names right.
But I have the trade here if you want me to.
Please, by all means.
Kelly Olynyk and Okai Agbaji to the Toronto Raptors from the Utah Jazz in exchange for Kira Lewis, Otto Porter Jr., who I loved, and the 2024 first round pick that is the worst of the four first-round picks that the Raptors currently control in this draft. Potentially five. So probably the Clippers or the Thunder first round pick, which as of right now seems like it'll be at worst like 28, because those are two excellent basketball teams, in exchange for Kelly Olynyk, who I think the Raptors will hope to re-sign and is a good passer and three-point shooter and just a big, which the Raptors needed, and Okai Agbaji, who was a promising young prospect. And summer's day. Oche Agbaji, pardon. Pardon me. Apologies to Oche and his family, more importantly. I was very confused by this trade. I was like, a first round pick. Those were the first words out of my mouth this morning
when I woke up. Of course.
A first round pick. But then I sort of came around on it.
Yeah, it's a very late pick. It will be, as you said, whoever it's technically there are like a bunch of restrictions on it, but realistically in terms of where the standings are right now, it will be the worst of either OKC or the Clippers. And then two players who were probably were not really in the rotation.
No, did not play. Even though I always thought Otto Porter Jr. should play.
Otto Porter Jr., he had some bad luck. He did. I liked the signing at the time for the Raptors when it happened. Obviously, he was coming off of that championship season with the Warriors, so there's definitely some positivity about his sort of place and what he could provide to the Raptors. Never really panned out. He is almost, and obviously a much not as high profile a signing, but he's almost Damari Carroll 2.0, where he never really did anything wrong, but you just got frustrated with him by virtue of a lack of availability.
Yeah. No, it was. And I thought everything he brought to the Raptors in theory was like exactly what they needed.
Right.
And the vet, like he seems by all accounts to be a really good like veteran leader and stuff, but they have Garrett Temple for that now.
Right.
Have I told you that I love Garrett Temple? I think he's a great fit for this team. And I think Kelly Olynyk will be another sort of leader by example.
Yes, I like the fit of Olynyk. I liked it more when I heard that they were planning to re-sign him and not just acquiring this expiring contract.
for a late season push?
Yeah, but it does seem like what they really coveted, I would guess, is Oche Agbaji.
Yeah.
Because I was just sort of scoping around the rumor mill, and I saw that yesterday it was reported that there was discussion of a framework that was Bruce Brown for Olynyk, Agbaji, and potentially a first-round pick. That was apparently where the hang-up was, that the Raptors wanted a first-round pick for Bruce Brown and weren't going to receive that. And so, you know, if you compare the relative value of that deal to this deal, I think it's about right. That it's
yeah, the Raptors did not give up a serious rotation piece and gave up a weak first round pick.
Yeah, and it's still, you know, we're still in the midst of the trade deadline. We might have to do a new record tomorrow if Bruce Brown gets traded, which it seems like it's quite possible that he will.
Do you think that's drastic enough news to merit us doing a re-record? We just the Bruce Brown trade?
A hypothetical Bruce Brown trade that happened for us to comment on.
Let's record it right now. Bruce Brown traded to the Dallas Mavericks.
No, they already did a bunch of trades.
Oh, Bruce Brown traded to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Sure.
In exchange for Gabe Vincent, of course.
And a first-round pick. The 2029 first-round pick.
Lottery protected?
Top 10 protected.
Top 10 protected. What do you think of this trade for the Raptors, Chris?
I really like this deal, Griffin.
Wow.
you know, Bruce Brown, obviously, it was said early on he was not really a player that was going to be in the Raptors' future. Getting back Gabe Vincent, who I believe is on a 3-year contract, was with the Lakers. Obviously was
Need
having a
shooting.
Disappointing season. Had a very difficult series of injuries. I think he will now be out still for several weeks. He had a knee procedure, is my understanding. He had a surgery, so hopefully he can come back healthy. I think it's a great buy-low prospect for what the Raptors had here with this asset in Bruce Brown. And they're getting this 2029 pick, which, hey, we'd have no idea how
could be anything.
The Lakers will be in 2029. So I like it for the Raptors. I don't love it for the Lakers. They sort of seem to be what they often do around the trade deadline, which is sort of throwing things at the wall, trying to get out of the sort of late playoff area that they've been stuck in and give them a little push. It worked last year. They got to the Western Conference Finals. I think Bruce Brown will be a nice addition for them, but I don't know if he is the game changer that they might be hoping he is.
Yeah, he seems like more of the piece that you add once you have all the other pieces, and I don't know if the Lakers have all the other pieces, but last year they remade their team pretty drastically.
You wouldn't think Rui Hachimura was that piece either, but apparently he was.
Trustin Kupchak. Is he still in? Or is he with the Hornets now, Mitch Kupchak?
Mitch Kupchak?
Yeah. I feel like he's with the Hornets now.
He is with the Hornets now.
All right.
So,
Trustin Rich Paul, I guess.
So that, of course, what's his name? Palinka, Rob Palinka.
Right. Okay, so that was, if that, what do you think the odds are that trade comes down?
I really hope that that's the trade. There would probably also be some seconds going to the Lakers, I would bet.
I'd throw a second. Not the Detroit second.
Sure. But the big thing is that the Bruce Brown cannot be aggregated with any players in a trade is the big issue. So.
Oh, yeah?
There will be some difficulty on making that salary work, but we'll see. Patrick Beverley reporting, I will just say, he is reporting that he has been traded to the Bucks.
Honestly, maneuver yourself for that post-career. Oh, God, he's going to be on, like, TNT or something when he retires, isn't he?
The new Inside the NBA is going to be terrible.
Who are you? Let's say all four of them retire. Who's your new pick 5 years from now?
All right.
I think it's Dwayne Wade.
I was going to say Dwayne Wade as well.
He'd be good. That's interesting. I like that. Patrick Beverley.
But Patrick, do we have to?
I mean, he's going to find his way. Is it Dwayne Wade, Patrick Beverley, and Draymond Green?
Ooh, that's interesting because
Draymond does it already.
The new Chuck and Shaq could be Draymond and Kevin Garnett.
Oh, that would actually be really good.
But are you worried about the two of them getting out of hand?
They might just start like saying unspeakable things to each other in the middle of a broadcast.
There are some crazy. Have you seen those clips of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce on whatever like their podcast is? They say some crazy things.
I don't think I ever actually have, so maybe I'll look up I know Kevin Garnett is not afraid to go there, as it were.
There's a great video where they're talking about who the dogs are in the league. That's very funny. It's very crazy. At any rate, Griffin...
Let's just quickly...
Do you not want to talk about that real trade that happened? You just want to talk... You wanted to analyze...
The Beverly to the Bucks trade?
No. The Agbaji trade, we never really, I don't think, finished sort of breaking that down.
I like it. I think that Agbaji is another sort of... A little... Not quite as much of a piece as like Emmanuel Quickley was, but a little more of a piece than Jordan Wara is. And Jordan Wara's look great in limited minutes. So I think that Agbaji... Apparently Masai has known his dad for like decades and decades, so... Maybe he's got an inside track. Played with Grady Dick in Kansas, I believe. Or maybe left Kansas as soon as Grady Dick arrived. But something like that. They both went to Kansas. I saw something about Agbaji leaving a gift for Grady Dick or something. Good friends.
Are you worried that Masai Ujiri is engaging in nepotism?
I wonder. You gotta wonder, you know.
Because he does seem to sort of favor his guys.
He's got his guys. But I think every executive in the league has guys that they... Like, I'm not too worried about it. I think that this trade is good for the Raptors. I think that Kelly Olynyk's a good piece to have here going forward, along with RJ. And we'll see if Chris Boucher is still on the team in an hour and 20 minutes. But,
Sorry, I can't get over this Patrick Beverley thing. The Bucks are sending Cam Payne and a 2027 second-round pick to Patrick Beverley.
Is he on Philly? Are the Bucks in Philly?
He was, of course, a 76er, yes.
That's weird. Those two teams are making a trade, I guess.
It is strange.
Two contenders. All right, Chris, let's just run down the trades of the day quickly, and then we've got a very exciting segment to get to.
Absolutely.
So the first trade of February 8th was another interesting move for Philly, and interesting for the Indiana Pacers as well. They ship Buddy Hield to the Sixers, get them some shooting, exchange for Marcus Morris, Furkan Korkmaz, And Furkan Korkmaz.
Furkan Korkmaz.
And 3 second-round picks. The Indiana Pacers, is this, like, this isn't quite a sell move, but it's a weird move, I think, for them.
I was a little bit curious about this move. I feel like Buddy Hield's name has come up in trade discussions for probably, how long has he been with the Pacers? 4 years now?
Yeah.
I feel like his name has come up probably 3 years. Or he was traded in 2022. I feel like it came up last year. It came up a lot this year.
He wasn't part of the... Was he part of the Haliburton-Sabonis trade?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Crazy. Remember when Domantas Sabonis was an Indiana Pacer? That feels like a long time ago.
Remember when Tyrese Haliburton was a Sacramento King?
Not really.
Remember when Domantas Sabonis was an Oklahoma City Thunderman?
No, I do not.
And his rookie season, that was where he played.
Good for him.
Absolutely.
Anyway, yeah, weird for the Pacers, I think. Who seemed like they could make a run.
Yes. It is a weird move. I have to think that he has wanted a change of scenery for a while, just given how much his name comes up. He is an expiring contract. It does feel like a sell low to me, certainly. Like, he wasn't getting a ton of minutes. His role had sort of dwindled, I think, with their sort of young wings coming on. Mathurin and Aaron Nesmith were sort of... siphoning away some of his minutes, Nembhard as well, and even Obi Toppin. But it's a strange move. You would think that a guy like Buddy Hield would at least have a first-rounder kind of value. Maybe they wanted to get players back. Korkmaz, I think, is okay. I'm not very high on Marcus Morris.
Well, if you need to injure someone on the other team, he might be your guy.
Yeah. I mean... And Korkmaz, like, has not really been in the rotation this year. And has not been for a couple of years now. So, no. Could he come back to being a rotation guy? Yeah, definitely. Are you confident that he will bring something to the table? Not really. Are you confident that Marcus Morris will bring something to the table? Not really.
Three second-round picks is fair, but it's not really a move for a team that just traded for Pascal Siakam on an expiring contract.
Exactly. It's a confusing move to me. And I guess they just wanted to get something of value because they knew they weren't going to re-sign him, but it's still strange to me. Yeah. They should be, I think, trying to make the playoffs, certainly. I mean, they are firmly in the playoffs right now, but they should try to win the playoffs.
Yeah. All right, so we did the Raptors-Jazz trade. Next up, this is a trade that I quite like. The Thunder acquired Gordon Hayward in exchange for Trey Mann and Davis Bertans, who are going to Charlotte. This is like the type of move I love to see from a contender. The Oklahoma City Thunder, legitimately a contender. I think they have like the second best point differential in the entire NBA. Like,
they are the number one seed in the Western Conference, Griffin.
Yeah, and like not by accident either. Like, truly an elite basketball team. And this is what I love to see. Like, just get a guy who can score off the bench, can come in. I don't know if he'll start for the Thunder. I feel like they're pretty set.
Yeah.
Right now, so just like get a guy who can come in and hit some shots and like give Shea a break. And like,
I guess you could start up a Dort.
Just give you 10 points a game off the bench. Like, that's exactly the type of thing I like to see contenders do at the deadline. Just deepen and strengthen their roster.
Yeah. I feel like Gordon Hayward has been called overrated for so long, or like, you know, thought to be like cooked for so long that people kind of forget that he has been consistently good. Like, I mean, obviously he has consistently been injured as well, but he has consistently been good for like the past 5 years when he's been able to play. I think the main reason people were sort of iffy on this trade was that people seemed to expect that he was going to go to the buyout market, but I think the fact that a trade happened at all is sort of indicative that there was a market to be made for Gordon Hayward. And so, you know, I don't think that they were the only team that had expressed interest.
No, certainly.
And so, in general, you know, I don't think they gave up much of value. So, I'm fine with this.
Yeah, I quite like this for the Thunder. Next up, New York Knicks deepening their bench as well. They trade Quentin Grimes, Evan Fournier, Malachi Flynn, Ryan Arcidiacono, and 2 second-round picks to the Detroit Pistons for Bojan Bogdanovic and Alec Burks. I like the Knicks are looking good. Chris, I'm wearing a Knicks jersey today, actually.
Absolutely.
It's an RJ Barrett Knicks jersey. But.
Yeah, the trade was better, I thought, because originally the reported trade was that it was something centered around Grimes for Burks, which I was like, wow, that's a great trade for Detroit.
Yeah.
Grimes is sort of in that weird, he's sort of a Terrence Mann type figure, obviously much young, but like Terrence Mann was a few years ago, where it's like, is this guy good?
Yeah, exactly. He's tantalizing.
He's tantalizing, almost, or even a Bruce Brown as well, where it's like in his younger days, that it's like, his stats won't like jump off the page. He doesn't seem to be like amazing at any one thing. Not the pop culture classic. Yep. But he does have things about him that are intriguing, and he is young as well and on a good deal. So I liked it for that. Bojan as well makes it shift pretty dramatically, I feel like, in the Knicks' favor. I think people overlook the fact that like he was, you know, obviously for a terrible team, but a 20-point-per-game scorer the last couple of years. Did some really good things in Utah for their team. The Jazz, I know what the name of Utah's team is. I just thought it might have seemed like I didn't play a phrase that. But I think that he is definitely a piece of value, and I think that that's a great upgrade for them. But Griffin, I want to break in here with a shocking piece of news. The Detroit Pistons are releasing the 2021 seventh overall pick, Killian Hayes.
Really?
Just waiving him outright. Obviously,
that is crazy. He's struggled.
Lived up to his potential. Famously, number one on Kevin O'Connor's big board in the 2021 draft.
Oh, KOC.
But he is a player that has been linked to the Raptors as well. So that's
very interesting. Yeah, I would love for them to scoop him up. What have you got to lose by giving him a 30-game run? Like,
exactly.
And I guess that's wild that the Pistons were like, we got to make room for Ryan Arcidiacono.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, Grimes is a nice thing for them to have.
Yeah, that's a good.
I'm not sure about the rest of it. I will also add another piece of news coming out is that the Lakers seem probable to stand pat.
Oh boy.
So we won't be seeing that our Bruce Brown trade could be in jeopardy.
That is tough. I mean, is that a smokescreen? Are the Raptors leaking that about the Lakers to try and trick the Lakers into
makes perfect
upping
sense.
Their own offer for Bruce Brown to drop that lottery protection down to a top 10 protection? I think that's what's going on here.
I think you're absolutely right.
That made sense what I just said.
Let's quickly.
The Raptors are leaking news about the Lakers to trick the Lakers. Dallas Mavericks acquire PJ Washington in exchange for Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and a first round pick. Grant Williams experiment not working out in Dallas. That I was big. Like, whoever got Grant Williams this summer, I was very happy for. And that has just not panned out there. PJ Washington's a solid big there. So, sure, good for Dallas, but I'm a little surprised that they're moving off of Williams so fast. Good for Charlotte.
It's a significant package.
Yeah, and a first-round pick, lightly protected.
Having a first-round pick in there is a bit tough, but I think that Dallas felt like they needed to make these upgrade moves because they have this, I don't know if we talked about it yet, but they have this Daniel Gafford move as well. So really upgrading in sort of their fringe positions. So I guess they thought like they needed a little bit of a boost.
Yeah, I mean, but like I like PJ Washington. He's on my fantasy team, but Grant Williams and Seth Curry and a first round pick. I don't know what Seth Curry was doing this year, but good shooter nonetheless.
Yeah, I think on paper it's a little nicer than it seems. Like Seth Curry was not really a significant part of their rotation. He, you know, has dropped off pretty significantly from, you know, a couple of years ago where he was a 10 to 15 point kind of scorer on good teams. He's certainly not that anymore. Obviously still has the potential to shoot at an elite level on any team he goes to, but I don't think that these were pieces that they considered super important to their future.
Yeah. I guess not, but the Grant Williams thing, I'm still sort of like I'm not surprised that they did it knowing what we know today, but if you had told me back in the summer, I would have been like, what?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And, you know, he's signed for 3 more years after this, so it could be a great buy low proposition for the Hornets.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that works out for Grant Williams, by all accounts. A Grant guy. You see what I did there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I got it.
Someone saying that the Raptors trading Dennis Schroeder for Spencer Dinwiddie is like when the computer teams trade with each other in 2K. Very accurate. So yes, Killian Hayes, you are a Toronto Raptor. Bruce Brown, we'll see if you're a Los Angeles Laker. But more importantly,
well, Killian Hayes might overlap with, in role with Gabe Vincent as the problem.
Well, hey, you can't have too many of those types of guys. That's what I always say.
So true.
Can't have too many of the Killian Hayes, Gabe Vincent archetype. That's the motto that's going to get me to the top of an NBA front office.
We're drastically running out of time here.
Yes, well, good thing we've already recorded our second segment then. Because, Chris, it is football's biggest night coming up. And the Super Bowl just days away. You all know what that means. We've got a very special guest coming up to discuss everything Super Bowl. And we'll be with him right after this. Recording is in progress.
Oh my Chris. God. You're an idiot.
What?
Sorry to start right away with that energy, but
this is famously not the start of the episode. We have already started the episode.
Yeah, of course, this is the middle of the episode.
And we have a very special guest. If you've been listening to High Floor, Low Ceiling for a while, you know what's coming next. It is, of course, Super Bowl week, and there's only one person we want to talk to on Super Bowl week. I don't even want to talk to Chris on Super Bowl week.
Also, if you read the episode title, but go on.
We don't know if he's making the episode title. It depends how well he performs right here. Ladies and gentlemen, Connor O'Neill is back for another year of hot Super Bowl preview content. The crowd goes crazy.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me back to talk football, talk some Super Bowl. I had a wicked joke lined up, but it didn't work. Well, it still kind of works, but I was going to say, give me three yes, because I'm back for the third time, but it's Usher, not Chris Brown, doing the Super Bowl halftime show. It is still like in the song. Yeah, it is still, the lyrics are still, and I quote, yeah. It's not yeah three
but
times.
It's yeah, yeah, yeah,
it is yeah exclamation point.
So. Right. Yes. It would have been quite the choice if the NFL went with Chris Brown to do their halftime show. We accidentally sang Chris Brown on the podcast last week, so that's okay.
That's true. That did happen. Good. And now we're two for two.
Yeah. Quite the streak we got going.
Chris Brown references.
Yeah.
Connor,
I hate to do that to you guys.
I want to just quickly, because we will get into, of course, Lions beat check-in, but just quickly, I wanted, you're also wearing a Michigan football sweater. I guess we can talk about that as well, but
no, we don't have to.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what was your belief level that you would be rolling into High Floor, Low Ceiling for Super Bowl week to talk about your Detroit Lions?
Oh, don't do this to him.
In the first half of the game or the second half of the
game? Let's say before the game.
Before the game, I sent a text to somebody, and I said, I'm pretty sure we just saw the only road win we're going to see this weekend. And that was after the Ravens-Chiefs game.
The hopes were not high.
I don't know, man. I'm such a Lions fan that I'm just going to like forever be pessimistic.
Sure.
This was the greatest season I've ever witnessed in every game. I was like, no, it's a loss. Like, mark it up as a loss on the calendar. But I don't know. There was a part of me that was optimistic. I was like, well, I've seen them play good football. They're playing good football currently. It's not like San Francisco is an indestructible team. I don't know. There was part of me that was pessimistic. There was part of me that was optimistic, like any true Detroit Lions fan.
Absolutely. Well, that segues nicely into our segment, which I'm known for my segment titles.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse. Hey, that's a great title for a segment.
Yeah, we keep that in mind.
It's called Lynn Johnston. Get some copyright sorted out.
Yeah.
I've dubbed this segment Trooper Bowl or Stupor Bowl. That means, is it a true thing about the Super Bowl? Or are you in a stupor because you have taken leave of your senses, as Griffin would say, and are thinking a crazy thought?
I love it.
And this is a loaded question for the both of you, but Trooper Bowl or Stupor Bowl, the right teams are playing this Sunday.
Trooper Bowl. This is not the matchup that America wanted.
Trooper Bowl.
Okay.
Okay, Griffin? Fine.
This is just boring. Same old, same old. We've seen it before, mm-hmm. 4 years ago. The Lions would have been an amazing story. Seeing Lamar Jackson and the Ravens would have been an amazing story. This is just the same old. Chiefs are every year. Mm-hmm. Boring. Seen it. Rooting against them now.
Wow. The Seen It DVD. And Connor, you seemed more ambivalent about this.
Yes, that's a horrible take. It's a horrible take. It is.
I mean, you could argue for the 49ers.
No. Shush. You should.
This is how I wish I could act.
Yeah, you don't have this alpha energy.
No, hold up. This is not, the question is not about who you want to see in the Super Bowl. The question is, are the right teams in the Super Bowl? Go back and watch the tape. Yes, the right teams are in the Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions were absolutely abysmal in the second half, lost a game that they should have won. So no, they don't deserve to be in the Super Bowl. And your Ravens, I'm sorry to say it, but they look like something I probably can't say on air right now. They look horrible. They couldn't they couldn't run their offensive scheme. They allowed Gus to have two, three carries. You're arguably your best running back in that game gets no carries. They weren't playing Ravens football. It cost them. It's the inverse of the Lions. So the Ravens didn't play to their identity. The Lions played to their identity to a fault, right? So no, these two teams don't deserve to be in the Super Bowl.
No, the Ravens deserve to win on
the right
Sunday.
Teams in the Super Bowl. Yes, the right teams are in the Super Bowl based on the outcomes of these games.
Do you think that the
do
teams
I, do
that
I want
deserve
these teams
to be
in the Super Bowl? No.
Do you think that
the
teams that deserve to be in the Super Bowl are determined the week before, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, or are they determined over the course of an entire 17-game regular season? Because if you're doing it that way, the Baltimore Ravens absolutely should be in the Super Bowl.
No.
They're the best team in the NFL.
I 100% think it was scripted. The NFL was like, yeah, let's have Brock Purdy huck a freaking prayer downfield, have the DB look like he's never played football before, watch it bounce off his face mask, and somehow Brandon Ayuk makes an are-you-kidding-me type of play. No. I do not think that was scripted.
I wasn't saying scripted. I was saying, what do you think means that
predetermined.
They deserve to be in the Super Bowl? Is it playing well in the championship game, or is it being the best team in the league?
Yeah. Don't you think, Connor, that there should be some kind of reward for being the best team in your conference in the regular season? Like, maybe you get to skip
around saying that
the
Ravens,
and you don't have to play one of the
I'm not saying that the Ravens
reward is the
played
bias, right?
Well in the AFC Championship game. I'm not arguing that. I'm saying that they were the team that should be in the Super Bowl because they are the best team in the American Football Conference.
The reward was home field advantage, and the Kansas City Chiefs came into Baltimore and didn't care about it.
I mean, Chiefs didn't play that well. Their defense played well.
Well enough to win.
Yeah, their defense played well enough to win.
Lamar Jackson.
This is
Lamar
like
Jackson,
the most.
The Baltimore Ravens are going to be doing the same thing that you are on Sunday, which is sitting on the couch and watching
the
game.
Obviously,
so
that's true.
Lions,
because the Chiefs defense played really well.
What? How is this like your victory that it's like
because everyone's talking about Patrick Mahomes when he didn't play that well.
I'm talking about Lamar Jackson played not Lamar Jackson but your offense as a whole. Lamar Jackson was probably the saving grace. Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers, but your offense as a whole looked terrible.
Yeah, they didn't run the ball against a bad run defense. They bailed the Chiefs out for sure, and that's why the Chiefs don't deserve to be in the Super Bowl, because they got bailed out by the Ravens' poor game plan.
Wow. Yeah, here they are.
Undeserved, so but there.
Wow, already heating up. Trooper Bowl or Super Bowl is already looking to be a huge success. I regret that we can only run it once a year. Griffin,
he was hot the moment I showed up in a Michigan hoodie today.
Griffin, this is to your point. Trooper Bowl or Stuper Bowl, defense will be more important than offense in this game because they are both very high octane at times offenses, but defense will be the story of the day, Trooper Bowl or Stuper Bowl.
So that's interesting. Do you think that, because a defense is on the field at all times, so technically they're great always point. The story, whether they do well or poorly.
And that Rams Super Bowl was actually the best Super Bowl, if you, the 10-3 Super Bowl.
I'm going to go Trooper Bowl. I think that these are two excellent defensive ball clubs, neither of them the best in the league, of course, because that's the Baltimore Ravens. But these are two really, really good defenses. I think that the Chiefs defense is going to sort of make or break their Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes doesn't have it anymore. Travis Kelce is old. And we saw that against the Ravens, that they did not get them to the Super Bowl. The defense did. So now the defense has to win the Super Bowl for them. So I think that is a Trooper Bowl, Chris.
Connor, you look baffled at every turn here.
Okay. It was shaping up to be a great take until you said those egregious things about Mahomes and Kelce. But
17 points.
We can hang on to that. We can say that. I think it's going like it. This one's pretty simple to me. Trooper Bowl. We know that both of these offenses are creative. They can score. They can, you know, put points on the board. They're going to move the ball down the field. They're going to convert on, you know, downs and distances that maybe they shouldn't be converting on. So, yeah, to me, that means it's going to be whose defense can set up. Whoever's defense can step up, is going to be the more important piece in this game, because these offenses are going to move the football down the field for sure.
You know, we saw in the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers, I think that was probably one of the best defensive games that any team has played against the Chiefs in this sort of run that they've been on. Do you think that San Francisco's pass rush has that same kind of capability to force Mahomes out of his comfort zone and sort of put him on his back heel like he was in that Super Bowl?
Well, the thing about Mahomes is he ever out of his comfort zone? Like, even when he's running around and he's an escape artist, we saw that against the Ravens just 2 weeks ago. Like, the Ravens have a really good pass rush and they had him under pressure, but it just doesn't matter. Like, he can move around, he can escape the pressure, and he hits guys. He just runs around and lets Travis Kelce get open eventually and hits him for 8 every time. So, listen, I do think that the 49ers obviously have an amazing pass rush. Nick Bosa, Chase Young, a couple of good Ohio State boys, better than any Michigan DE in the league. I'll say that for sure. But they'll make Mahomes' life harder, but it's just like, is it hard enough?
Yeah, I'm with you. To me, like, and this isn't a slight, it's going to sound like a slight, but it's not meant to be a slight. They didn't make Jared Goff uncomfortable. They're not going to make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable. And Jerry Goff had a great season, don't get me wrong, but you didn't make Jerry Goff uncomfortable in the NFC Championship game. You're not going to make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable, regardless of Nick Bosa and Chase Young.
Do the Lions have a better line than the Chiefs, though? Lions have a great offensive line.
I would argue yes. Yeah, as an all-around unit, yes. And they also don't line up offside every single snap, Jawan Taylor.
Okay. Gosh, unbelievable shots fired. Connor O'Neill scorches Jawan Taylor. Headlines across the nation.
Oh, okay. mainly Griffin.
You won't believe what Connor O'Neill said about this Chiefs offensive lineman.
Lions fans go ballistic. Griffin, you have alluded to this several times. The Travis Kelce question looms large over the Chiefs offense. Trooper Bowl or Stuper Bowl, Griffin? The Chiefs can win without their wide receivers stepping up.
I'm going to say Stuper Bowl. I think that Kelsey's going to have a good game. Obviously, I'm still a little bitter about the Chiefs beating the Ravens. Travis Kelce, I do think, has lost a step, but is clearly still capable of showing up. He'll have an extra week of rest, obviously, coming into the Super Bowl. Not going to any concerts or anything. Didn't go to the Grammys, so we know he's really focused. He's really locked in. So Yeah, I think that Kelce will have a great game, but is one guy having a great game enough to win you a Super Bowl against a defense like the Niners? I don't know. I mean, it was good enough against the Ravens, but I think that the Chiefs will need something, maybe a touchdown from Rashee Rice or something like that, or at least like 120 yards from Rashee Rice. Like, they need some sort of other weapon.
120 yards.
Just, if you're not going to get a touchdown, at least go trip Didge for me.
Connor, to you.
No, I agree. Maybe not with 120 yards from Rashee Rice, but I agree with the sentiment that Rashee Rice needs to be a big part of this offense in order for the Chiefs to find success. I mean, look at what Detroit threw at San Francisco just 2 weeks prior, as Sam LaPorta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously using Jahmyr Gibbs in different ways. So, yeah, I do think that without these receivers stepping up for the Chiefs, you know, I don't think their offense is as dynamic. So somebody is going to have to step up, whether it's Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce. If Kadarius Toney is in the game, maybe he can do it. I highly doubt it. I don't even know why I threw his name out there, but somebody is going to have to step up on the Kansas City Chiefs, not named Travis Kelce. And I do think it is up to Rashee Rice, as it has been kind of in the postseason here.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling had the game-sealing catch against the Ravens 2 weeks ago. It could be him. Didn't Kadarius Toney say this week that he is a number one wide receiver in the NFL if given the opportunity or something like that?
He's had the opportunity. I did see that. Don't get me started, because I'll go for like another 5 minutes on why.
Crazy considering the season that he's had.
That's a wild statement from a guy like Kadarius Toney.
Apparently, Chris, he has claimed that his IG rant was directed towards Giants fans, not Chiefs fans. So, good. Quieting the controversy.
Put those Giants fans in their place.
Giants,
they've had it too good for too long.
Giants fans are just content that they are not the Jets right now. Like, nobody's heard any noise from the Giants at all this offseason because they're not the Jets, and they're just happy to be like in the offseason with no drama going on. So I highly doubt that was directed at Giants fans.
Connor O'Neill eviscerates Giants fans, destroys their sense of self-worth.
I was why we bring the fire. The Giants are almost the Giants are almost like what the Lions turned out to be. Like, people thought that the Giants were going to be like, oh, like, well, that they're sort of like defense forward and, you know, a sort of grittier offensive game, but then it ended up being the Lions that turned into that team. So RIP to the Giants. That's what I'm trying to say. Griffin, we've
David
talked a
be
lot.
Like,
my brother?
No, but the Bible, David.
Oh, okay.
When he kills Goliath, RIP to the Giants.
Sure.
If you guys were good Christians like me, you would have gotten that reference right away.
Did you know? This is very, very outside the purview.
I can't wait for a did you know here. What on earth is
this is a
be?
Great did you know, too. Did you know that the most shipped Bible characters on Archive of Our Own are David and Jonathan?
I thought for sure you were going to say Goliath. Who's Jonathan?
Oh, now who doesn't know the Bible? Come on,
me. I don't. Shout out to Jonathan, who's just some guy was just walking by. He's like,
he was
check out that guy with the
son, man. He was Saul's son. You don't get it.
I'm very, very outside of this conversation. My Bible knowledge comes from VeggieTales. So,
exactly, Griffin. We've talked a lot about the Chiefs' offense. We haven't talked much about the 49ers' offense, and I want you to tell me. Is Brock Purdy a Super Bowl caliber quarterback?
Super Bowl.
You think he's Super Bowl caliber?
He is absolutely Super Bowl caliber. Listen, all you need to do is win the football games, and he's done that. So credit to him, but I could have won the football games on this San Francisco 49ers team playing quarterback. Obviously.
Your famous touchdown throws.
Obviously not quite true, but I mean, it's a fantastic roster at 51 different roster spots, and he's there as well. So shout out to Brock Purdy for doing what he had to do to win. And it's a great story. You know, I saw last week for the NFC Championship game, this is an aside, they were like, this is the first time in history that a quarterback drafted first overall and a quarterback drafted last overall have gone up against each other in a playoff game. I was like, I feel like those two things are not pulling even weights on the first time in history. Like, Brock Purdy is really making all the history there. Not Jared Goff's not sure. Doing anything. I thought that was a funny stat, and you all laughed uproariously, so it clearly paid off.
Just did laugh.
No, Brock
You're
Purdy
in defense mode.
Brock like Purdy
the
is
Kansas
the quarterback.
Kansas City Chiefs are so defensive.
Yeah. Brock Purdy is the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, and credit to him for that. But that's about it.
Connor, Super Bowler, Trooper Bowler, Super Bowl, of course. What are your thoughts on Brock Purdy?
I'm going to go with Trooper Bowl on this. I think when Brock Purdy is doing the things that he's asked to do, when he doesn't have to do too much within the 49ers offense, when they're firing, I think Brock Purdy is a quarterback that can get the job done. And when all you have to do is deliver the ball 5 yards to McCaffrey, or on a short turnaround handoff to McCaffrey, and or slant routes, 15-yard routes to Debo, Kittle, whoever, your life is pretty easy in that offense. But it's when Purdy's pressure and he starts having to be a little bit creative that sometimes things don't always go his way. I think there's a double-edged sword, because yes, I do think that Purdy can be a Super Bowl quarterback if he's not forced to do too much.
Okay, that's a very nuanced take, and I appreciate it. I will say, we've seen plenty of players with stacked receiving cores who do not show up in the same way, especially in the playoffs, that Brock Purdy does. Just saying. That's a Trooper Bowl for me. I'm a Brock Purdy believer.
Interesting.
We'll do a little lightning round here. Griffin, of course, we talked about Usher making the halftime show appearance. Not Chris. Hopefully Chris Brown will not be there. It's not out of the question, though.
You never know with these people.
Trooper Bowl or Super Bowl? One, we will see one of Lil Jon or Will I Am during the Super Bowl halftime show. Of course, two famous Usher collabs, OMG and Yeah.
I'm going to say Trooper Bowl, but Lil Jon, not Will I Am.
Okay. And Connor, you're already nodding. This is a Trooper Bowl for you.
Trooper Bowl, I'm with Griffin. Lil Jon. Lil Jon's probably already in Vegas.
Just by coincidence.
Hear me out. Justin Bieber, yes or no? Usher famously discovered the Biebs, helped him out a lot in his
Somebody
early
to Love remix
career. I would lose my mind if they pulled out the Somebody to Love remix. Justin Bieber at the NHL All-Star party that he hosted was singing the old songs. He sang Baby. He sang.
He was singing?
Yeah, he did like a whole concert for the first time in like 2 years.
That's incredible, because I saw him at the All-Star draft and he could not even stand. He was
he was notably sitting out for the every video that I saw.
All right, well, we'll move on. Griffin, Trooper Bowl or Super Bowl? Regardless of the outcome of this game, the Chiefs are already a dynasty in the NFL.
They've won 3 of the last 4.
They've won 2, but been to 4?
Right. Been to 4 of the last 5, won 2 of the last 4. Yeah, Trooper Bowl.
Begrudgingly.
Begrudging Connor? Trooper Bowl.
I don't know.
Do you need 3 to be a dynasty?
Yes, it's tough for me. It's tough for me. I don't want to slight anything that the Chiefs have done. But like when we start to talk about dynasty, my mind goes to, you know, the Patriots, obviously, but the Bulls, the Yankees, these types of teams. And it's like, you know, we're talking about not just 2 titles and a couple appearances. We're talking about like 6 titles, 6 rings, 8, 9, 10 appearances. And I love that we're talking about the Chiefs as a potential dynasty, because, you know, how amazing is it in our lifetime that we're going to get to witness the Patriots and potentially this Chiefs dynasty? I think they're on the cusp. I think you wouldn't be necessarily wrong to call them a dynasty right now. But I think for for my money's worth, I think if they win this third one, then we can really start to have a serious conversation. Just because of the fact that, you know, comparatively to other solidified dynasties, yeah, I think I need a few more titles in there.
Okay.
You know what? I think that's valid. I think three is the number to start the dynasty conversation. And honestly, if Mahomes doesn't win the Super Bowl, I think we have to start having a conversation about can he get it done in the big game when the lights are the brightest? Because yeah, then he'll have a losing record in Super Bowls.
Disagree.
He'll have a losing record in Super Bowls.
That man already has a Hall of Fame resume. He's good.
For sure.
He's
yeah. Yeah, he's in, but did he get it done under the bright lights? Tony Romo's probably a Hall of Famer.
You're a fool. All right, we're running short on time here, so one last question for you, Connor. Triple Bowl or Super Bowl?
Not me. Talked about I lost my privileges. My
shush, Super Bowl. We have like 3 minutes here. The 49ers will win the Super Bowl. Trooper Bowl or Super Bowl, Connor?
Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
Wow.
Just a flat stupor. That's fair.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think doesn't matter how. Doesn't matter the circumstance. The Chiefs, for whatever reason, for whatever way, however reason, whatever you want to say, I can't speak English right now, they seem to find a way to get the win, to get it done. And everybody all year long said, well, they're not really the Chiefs this year, they're not really the Chiefs this year. Well, guess what, they're the Chiefs this year. They're back in the Super Bowl. We are forced to watch 15 and 87 and all these Chiefs run around in another Super Bowl this year. I think the Niners are certainly going to give them a heck of a run. But at the end of the day, Chiefs just find a way to win. And until, you know, until proven otherwise, I'm not going to bet against the Chiefs in a Super Bowl game.
Well, they have lost twice.
Griffin, Trooper Bowl or Super Bowl?
Trooper Bowl. Chris, the Bills bailed out the Chiefs. The Ravens bailed out the Chiefs. I can only hope the 49ers won't do the same. The 49ers are a stacked roster top to bottom. Chiefs have a great defense. I've been saying that. Chiefs have a quarterback advantage, but the 49ers defense is just as good. And the variety of weapons available to Kyle Shanahan, I hope, will be enough to push them over the edge and give the world a Super Bowl champion that's actually deserving.
The people's champion. Yeah. Well,
that would be the Detroit Lions, but I digress.
Or the Baltimore Ravens. We can agree on that. Would have been a way more fun matchup.
Sure. Well, then that we'll decide it then. Connor, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have anything to say about the Edmonton Elks in our remaining minute here?
Yeah, I would like to quickly say free Trey Ford.
Okay. Agreed.
I'd like to say free Trey Ford. They've done him dirty. Free Trey Ford. Get him to a team that actually wants to let him throw the ball at the CFL level. That's all. Thank you.
All right. And anywhere people can find you, social media, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I at Connor R. O'Neill. That's my stuff. And if you're interested in anything Canadian football related, that's my jam. Do that over at Canadian Football Perspective at CF Perspective.
Absolutely. Some high quality content coming out there. This part of the show is about to end. Griffin is giving me the wrap it up sign. So we will, I guess, be back for the outro, or the podcast is just over, one or the other. But you'll know in 1 second.
And that is going to do it for today's episode. What is so goddamn funny to you?
Whoa. Oh, damn.
I literally bring you a professional and polished outro and you laugh in my face.
Okay, go ahead, do the outro.
And that is going to do it for today's episode, folks. Something funny over there?
Oh, sorry, I wasn't supposed to laugh.
You got a lot of nerve.
I do. I'm a nervy hoe.
Is that the Nicki Minaj remix? By the way, you want to talk about Nicki Minaj for 30 seconds?
She has dug herself a hole.
She is not doing too well.
She is in trouble.
Yeah. Hope, like,
it's honestly at the point where it's like, I hope people around her are, like, caring for her and looking out for her, because this seems bad. Anyway.
Good lord.
I said what I said. I'm not afraid of the barbs. That's okay. We put that on TikTok. We'll get some lessons on the podcast. Thank you to all for listening. Thank you to Connor for coming on. Great to talk to him again and hear his terrible football opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think I was right or he was right for most of that debate? You were.
I thought he was right.
Yeah.
You were. I tend to side with the guests for whatever reason.
Interesting. Chris, just before we go, you still have not unveiled who you will be cheering for in this Sunday Super Bowl. We know that you love Taylor Swift, of course, but you have a complicated relationship with Travis Kelce. Oh,
do not get me started.
Before he started dating Taylor Swift, you were anti-Kelce. Now,
did I already no
one
talk
knows.
About...
No one knows what your opinion no on Travis Kelce is.
Travis Kelce. Did I already talk about the theory that my lovely partner proposed?
No.
That if the Chiefs were to win the Super Bowl... that he would propose on the field after the game to Taylor Swift.
I have seen people speculating as to that. I would be surprised, personally.
So I guess I will be cheering for the 49ers.
What if the Chiefs lose and then he proposes on the field? How crazy would that be? All right. So, interesting. You're against them getting married. You don't think they're endgame. Interesting.
I don't think the institution of marriage should be...
So, broadcast to impressionable youth all over the country.
Exactly. Do you think that marriage paid off Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce so that they could?
This is all a big people's jewelers is getting in on.
Isn't this the end of the show?
Yeah, I've been trying to end it. You keep laughing at me.
End it then. I'm dead serious.
Follow us on everything you can think of at HFLC Podcast. We should make a blue sky now that that's free.
Nothing funny about that.
Follow Chris on Twitter at Seahouse and Jam. Follow me on Twitter at GriffinPorter97. Follow Connor on Twitter at Connor R. O'Neill. Still never took our advice on changing that.
It is a difficult handle. Did we talk about this last year?
We've talked about this every year.
It's kind of hard to hear.
Connor,
when he said, when he
and then
said
the letter
it,
R, and then O'Neill.
When he said it during the pod, he was like, "Do you follow me at Connor O'Neill?" I was like, "Uh-oh."
All right, thank you again to Connor. That was great to talk to him. Thank you to you, Chris.
Terrific.
It was great to talk to you.
You're welcome.
Is there anything you want to say to me?
Thank you for doing the outro.
You're welcome. Thought I'd take that off your plate this week. Much love to everyone. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we will see you next week.
If you really want to take something off my plate, show up on time next week.
I knew you were mad at me. You've been mad at me this entire time. My roommate had to make a piece of toast, and that
are
was
we still recording?
Yes.
Okay.
This is all for the record. Bye.